Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about Kicking Out the Devil, Part 2. If you missed Part 1 of this series, you can go to the website, gatheredtheoutcast.com, and click on the radio broadcast, and you catch Part 1 of this series. And if you have your Bible there today, turn it to 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3, we're going to start there. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, we'll be looking at that scripture and then going on from there to others. And we're going to kick the devil out of our life in the name of Jesus. Well, last week, just to review briefly of what we talked about last week, there were two ways that we said that people allow the devil into their life or people allow sin into their life. And the first way is by generation curses, and that is the curses handed down to you through the generations, through your family, not through the bloodline. It's not a DNA issue. You don't inherit it through the blood. What you do inherit, however, are demons that track your family, spirits that track your family, familiar spirits that have been assigned to your family, know the weaknesses of your family going back many generations. And so when you show up as a little baby, and even before you're born, curses are spoken over you, curses are handed to you that have been part of your family for many generations. And as you step foot on this earth and start to walk out your fulfilling and your calling, then the devil comes against you, and he comes against you knowing the weaknesses that have been in your family and knowing the ways that he can easily penetrate your gospel armor, that he can easily penetrate your desire to serve the Lord and take you away from your calling. And so that is his purpose. And we know from John 10:10 that Jesus said about the devil that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give you life abundantly. And so when we align ourselves with Jesus, we will have abundant life. When we align ourselves with Jesus, we're going to be fulfilling our purpose and our calling here on this earth. But when we allow the enemy to come into our life and to penetrate our gospel armor, and he takes us off and he steals from us and he kills us, he destroys us, he lies against us, he murders against us. And so when we align ourselves and make agreements with the enemy, then we allow the enemy to control our life. And so that is the first way that sin comes into our life, and transgression and iniquity is repeated sin or repetitive, willful choosing of sinful lifestyle and sinful patterns of behavior. And so that iniquity is what we have to deal with when we decide to come back to the Lord. And then the second way that we allow sin and transgressions into our life is that we choose those things ourselves. We are presented with choices each and every day. Life is nothing, I guess you could say, life is nothing but a series of choices lined up one after another. And so we choose each and every day to either walk with the Lord, to gather with him, or we choose to scatter. And so if you choose to gather with him, you're going to make good choices, and you're going to gather strength, and you're going to gather the things into your life that you need, the blessings and the grace and the mercy and the things that you need to move forward. And as you move forward, then the Lord continues to add to you. He gives even more to those who are faithful with the little things. He gives even more to them, those that have been faithful with the little things. He takes from those who are not faithful, and he gives it to those who are faithful. And so as you walk with the Lord and you renounce and you speak against sin and you speak against iniquity, you speak against transgression in your life, then the Lord says, oh, I love that, I like that. There's my son, there's my daughter, and they're striving to do the right thing. They're striving to enlarge the kingdom on this earth through their life and bring glory and honor to me. And so the Lord will bless you even more. He'll give you that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing. And as he blesses you even more, then you have even more strength to deal with the enemy and to speak against sin and iniquity in your life. Well, the devil is not going to leave you alone ever in your life. It doesn't matter how long you serve the Lord or to what great extent you serve the Lord, what kind of passion you have, the devil is not going to leave you alone. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And so as you think about a roaring lion, as we were in Kenya a few years ago on the Maasai Mara wildlife refuge, we saw many lions out there and many cubs and lionesses, and awesome beauty of them is betrayed by the fact that if you were out there standing on the ground with them, it's a very likely possibility that they would devour you. And that's kind of the way the enemy is. He comes to us as a shining light. He comes to us as a deceiver, and he tells us lies. He speaks lies and falsehoods into our ears. And so we tend to think that he's an innocent adversary, an innocent enemy. We tend to think that we can trust him, but as soon as we do, as soon as the trap is set, then the enemy closes the trap and we are trapped in it, and the enemy then reveals himself as who he truly is, and that is, he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then verse 8 in 1 Peter 5 says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." And so don't think just because you're a Christian that you're being singled out for suffering. Don't think that just because you're a Christian that somehow the Lord has aught against you and the Lord wants to run you over the rack and over the coals every day. People all over the world suffer. Every single person has their trials, has their tribulations, has the issues in their life that cause them suffering. And so you too, as a believer, you're going to suffer. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. There's no easy walk here as a human being on this earth. There is no easy walk. There's no carefree walk where you're not going to have trials and tribulations and where you're not going to suffer. The good part about being a Christian, the best part about being a Christian, is that when you do suffer, when you do take on the trials and tribulations and the enemy comes after you, when you do suffer, you have the strength and the power of the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah God, with you, and you have Jesus Christ as your Savior and his precious blood covering you, and you have the Holy Spirit to counsel you, to give you wisdom, to give you comfort, and to advocate for you against the devil in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the courtroom of heaven. The devil brings charges against you, and you are able to answer those charges and say, "Well, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and he shed his blood for me, and he has forgiven me of my sins. He has set me free from the shackles of all the sinful activity that I have participated in, and he has set me free from the sins that I've chosen in the past." And so as a result of that, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is our Redeemer, he's our Restorer, and he is our Reconciler. And because of his blood, we do not have to experience the same kind of torment, or we do not go through the same kind of torment as our brothers in the world who do not know that they have an advocate in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to take up the ways to kick the devil out now, and I have a couple of points here. First is that you take every thought captive that comes into your mind. The battlefield that the enemy wants to take over is in your mind. That battlefield is your mind. And when the enemy puts a thought in your mind, he wants you to continue to think that thought. He wants you to continue to repeat that thought. And when you continue to repeat that thought, then eventually that thought will be acted out. It will become action in your life. And when it becomes action in your life, then it becomes obvious sin not only to yourself but to others. And when it becomes action and obvious sin, then the devil has established a stronghold. When you repeat that sin over and over and over, day after day, then the enemy has established a stronghold. And whether it's to lie, whether it's to cheat, whether it's to steal, whether it's to look at pornography or do drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, an addiction, that is a stronghold. That's like a fortress in your soul, a fortress in your life. And so then the devil starts with a little tiny thought in your mind that comes against the knowledge of God. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, if you have your Bible there, 2 Corinthians 10:3, Paul is telling the Corinthians how this spiritual battle plays out. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," or are not fleshly, "but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Well, that's a lot of words there that Paul is throwing out, but what he's saying is that we don't war in the flesh. We don't go wrestle in the flesh with the devil. We don't pick up spears and we don't pick up machetes and go chop the devil up. Our weapons are not fleshly. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And so when we think about the devil comes and he plants a little seed of doubt in our mind, he calls God a liar, he plants a little seed of doubt in our mind, and then we start to dwell on that little seed, or we start to nourish that little seed, and the first thing you know, we're telling ourselves that maybe it's okay to look at a little bit of pornography, maybe it's okay to tell a lie, to cheat in some regard, cheat in your business, cheat in your taxes. Maybe it's okay to do just a little bit of drugs or a little bit of alcohol. Nobody's going to know. And so when you embrace even the tiniest lie from the pit of hell that raises itself up against the knowledge of God, when you embrace that and you start to think that thought over and over, and you start to embrace that thought and think about, well, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can drink just some alcohol and it's not going to affect my life, or maybe I can do just a little bit of drugs and it's not going to affect anybody or hurt anybody. Paul says we have to cast down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know what Jesus Christ wants for your life? How do you know? Well, there's two ways primarily. One, you have to study God's Word to know what the will of God is, not only for your life, but for other people's lives. And then secondly, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit counsels you, and the Holy Spirit counsels you and speaks to your conscience. And so when you do something that violates your conscience, when you start to do things that violate your conscience, you know that is the Holy Spirit of God who has coached and counseled your conscience. You know that is the Holy Spirit of God that is speaking to you and is giving you direction. And so when you violate your conscience, when you go against that good counsel from the Holy Spirit and you violate your conscience, then you don't have peace and you don't have good fulfillment, you don't have pleasure, you don't have joy. All those things then start to be robbed from you. And so when you listen to the devil and you start to enact those things that he is speaking into your mind, then eventually you will act those things out. They will become expressions of behavior, expressions of your attitude, the things that you do each and every day. And so the antidote to that is, as soon as that thought comes into your mind, as soon as that knowledge comes into your mind that is raised up against God's will, against the will of God in your life, then you take that thought captive and you speak against it. You take that thought captive as soon as you recognize, as soon as you realize that that thought raises itself up as a high thing against the knowledge of God. You speak against it. You say, mountain, move in that life. Mountain, move in my life. I do not want to entertain pornography. I do not want to entertain drug use or alcohol use. I do not want to incorporate that into my life or make that a pattern of behavior in my life. So you start to speak against that. In the name of Jesus, I speak against alcohol use. In the name of Jesus, I speak against pornography. In the name of Jesus, I speak against telling lies. And you declare in the name of Jesus, and you speak to that mountain, and you say to that mountain, mountain, move from my life, go into the sea. And Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you would be able to speak to that mountain, and it would move into the sea. And so you need to just practice it. Just believe in faith that that is what you can do. Believe in faith that God gives you the power to not only speak against the strongholds in your life, but actually to destroy and to tear down the strongholds in your life and to cleanse your life of strongholds. And as you move forward and do that, speak against every mountain in your life that you don't want to see there. Speak against those things that have raised themselves up in your life against the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life. Well, Paul says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. And so I'm going to talk just a little bit here. The second point is, what are the weapons of our warfare? Well, they're not spears, they're not javelins, they're not machine guns. I'm not saying don't keep a gun in your house, that's not what I'm saying. But that's not the main warfare weapon that we use against the devil. In fact, it's not even on the list of the frontline warfare weapons that we use. The weapons that we use are spiritual weapons, and they are mighty for pulling down strongholds. And the first of these weapons, of course, is prayer. And you need to spend time in prayer every day. As Jesus said, you go into your secret place and you pray to the Father who hears you in secret, and he will reward you in secret. And so as you spend time in prayer, asking the Lord for the needs of your life, the needs of your family, the needs of your personal walk with him, as you spend time in prayer, then God hears your prayer. He sends his angels out in response to the things that you ask for. He sends his angels out in response to the praise, the worship. And so as you spend time in prayer, you communicate with God. You position yourself before God to have the Lord move in your life and to give him permission to move in your life. God wants to have permission. He wants your agreement, and he can do things without your agreement. You don't want to see that happen. You don't want him to override your will. And so he wants your agreement. He wants you to speak the things that you desire for your life. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so the things you desire for yourself, for your family, for your provision, for your job, for your destiny, those things, when you speak those things, you ask the Lord for those things, you expect the Lord, you come in expectation, and you expect the Lord to deliver those things. You delight yourself in the Lord, you serve the Lord, you wait on him, and you delight in his presence, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. He tells the Thessalonican church, pray without ceasing. Well, that doesn't mean that you quit all your other activities and just pray and don't move out of your house or out of your secret place. We all have lives to live. There are things that we need to do. And we can pray while we're doing those things. We have a time in the morning or in the evening when we can spend time alone with the Lord, and we can pray and be in our secret place. But you have to come out of your secret place and spend time doing other things, providing for your family, working at your job, whatever it is. And you can pray during those times, even when you're driving down the road. Don't just be absent-mindedly all the time talking or listening to the radio, spend time in prayer as you're driving down the road. God will put on your heart things that you can pray for, even as you're driving or even as you're working. So that's the first of the weapons of our warfare. Prayer is mighty. Prayer changes things. It changes us. It changes the kingdom of God. It causes the devil to flee. And so prayer is the mighty weapon of our warfare and first in our line and in our arsenal. The second weapon that we have is the study of God's Word and the incorporation of God's Word into our life. And 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul tells Timothy, "Be diligent to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." So Paul says, spend time studying. Be diligent and approve yourself to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I challenge you, beloved, if you don't have a daily Bible study reading time, I challenge you to do that. Start today. Start reading God's word each and every day. Get that word incorporated into your heart. Hide it into your heart. And when you start to spend time in God's word, you will see your life change. You will see the countenance of yourself change as you look at yourself. You'll see your motivations change. You'll see your destiny start to come before you and start to be revealed before you. And so spend time in God's Word. It will change your life. When I really got serious about studying God's Word about 25 years ago, it was a groundbreaking, breathtaking change in my life because God started to impart His wisdom and His knowledge and His strength into me. He started to reveal to me His destiny for me and all those questions that I had about why am I here, what am I doing, what's my purpose, where do I get from here to there. All of those things started to be answered for me and started to clear up in my life. And I've gained more clarity, I've gained more vision, and more motivation. And so as you study God's word, be diligent. In other words, be persistent. Be persistent. Show yourself approved to God and rightly dividing the word of truth. Psalm 19:105 tells us this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The third weapon of our warfare is the fellowship. And I encourage all of you, even though you may be listening to this radio broadcast today, I encourage all of you to find a church home, a good Bible-believing church home where the Word of God is preached right out of the Bible, and make that church your home. Lay aside your pride and walk into that church each and every Sunday and submit yourself to the leadership, to the elders, to the pastor. And as you do that, you will strengthen your walk. You'll strengthen your walk for yourself and for the Lord. And Paul says in Hebrews 10:25, "Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." And the day he's talking about is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, an inevitable day when Jesus is going to come back and gather up his church and rapture the church out of here. And Paul says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so it's important that you have a church home. It's important that you not only call that your home or say, I belong to this church or I belong to that church, but you actually are there every Sunday to the best of your ability, that you're there and that you participate. Take a job in the church, start to teach children, or start to do something, an active role in the church, and don't just warm the pew, be a doer, and not just somebody who sees the word or knows the word, but be a doer. Get out there and participate in expanding the kingdom of God here on this earth. Well, the fourth weapon of our warfare is praise and worship. And I'm going to be talking more about this next week, the praise and worship. When you worship the Lord, it breaks the back of the enemy. The enemy hates it when you worship the Lord. The enemy does not like when you spend time in praise and worship. And I'm going to be talking about the story of Jehoshaphat from 2 Chronicles 20 next week. And we'll see how praise and worship, just praising the Lord, how that can break the back of the enemy and change the circumstance, change the atmosphere, and how that can bring glory and honor to the Lord and strengthen you in your battle against the strongholds of the enemy. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We're going to have contact information here in just a minute, and I urge you to get in touch with us. I urge you to take time to sit down, write out a check, and send it to us. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you care about this ministry and all the good work that we're doing in Africa and here in the United States. We have a great book offer out there made available to you for a donation of any amount. We'll send you my recently published book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. And so if you'd like to have that book, why, sit down, write out a check, send it to Gather Outcast Ministry. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We appreciate all the those of you who have donated in the past, and we look forward to serving you in this coming year. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.